We'll move to the next case, which is Ahmad versus McCasey. We'll have one on speakerphone. And I guess, is that Ms. Sharma Crawford?
Yes, Your Honor, it is.
Okay, we can hear you. It's all working? Everything squared away? Okay, fine. Well, you may proceed.
May it please the court and counsel. My name is Rekha Sharma Crawford, and I represent the petitioner Ehsan Amjad in his petition for review. I'd like to begin by first addressing the latest issue raised by the government in their 28-day letter as to a challenge to jurisdiction of the court. Now, based on the government's letter, they raise Ali versus Gonzalez as the lead case which prevents the court from having or exercising jurisdiction. While we would admit that Ali clearly did for the first time hold that the court did not have jurisdiction to review a continuance decision of the immigration court, we would also submit that even in Ali, the court did not overrule or overturn Subhan versus Ashcroft. And in fact, we believe that just as in Subhan versus Ashcroft, there is a jurisdiction based on the fact that the denial in this case of the continuance nullified the statutory opportunity of the petitioner to adjust status. Just like in Subhan and also in Bentalame versus Ashcroft, just like the petitioner in both those cases, the petitioner in this instance also was awaiting a decision from USCIS on a pending I-130 that his wife had filed for him. Now, in Ali, the distinguishing factor is that the petitioner was, in fact, waiting for a collateral application, that being his son's application for naturalization, to be approved, thereby giving rise to his possible I-130. In this instance, the petitioner had an I-130 pending before USCIS, and there was relief available of adjustment of status once that I-130 was approved.
Forgive me, Ms. Sharma Crawford, this is Judge Rovner. Hello.
Hello, Judge.
I was wondering, has there ever been a final adjudication by the DOJ on Luther's I-30 petition, or did the I-30 process stop once the BIA granted Amjad a voluntary departure?
No, Your Honor. As of October 10th of 2007, the I-130 has been approved for the spouse being Crystal Amjad. And that obviously came as a result of a very lengthy review of the file, and that is part of our contention, is in this instance, had the petitioner been able to allow the government, or had the IJ given the government the opportunity to review the facts and review the issues, that once that was approved and all of the concerns of the agency were in fact addressed and overcome, that now there became no statutory ineligibility for Mr. Ehsan or Mr. Amjad to be able to adjust his status.
Did you say October 27th, 2007?
No, Judge, October 10th, 2007. And I have, and I should have probably done it prior to this oral argument, but I have put in the mail both to court as well as counsel copies of that approval.
And how do you believe that changes?
Well, Judge, what that does is that puts it completely within the parameters of Subhan versus Ashcroft. It also.
I'm sorry. My ears aren't that good. Say that again. That puts it into the province of.
Of the court's holding in Subhan versus Ashcroft.
And Subhan. Okay.
Yes, Judge. And in Subhan, you know, the issue was that there was no delay that was caused by the petitioner. And just similarly, as in this case, the petitioner, Mr. Amjad, did everything he could. He filed timely. In fact, he actually filed his I-130 petition and his application for adjustment of status prior to ever being placed in removal proceedings. And so there was really nothing that the petitioner did to cause the delay of the adjudication of the I-130. And so based on that, it would be our position that this factual similarity to Subhan is exactly what the Subhan court was talking about, and that the board in Matter of Velarde, which is the board decision that addresses continuances with respect to a pending I-130, would also have supported petitioner's claim that he was entitled to a continuance, at least insofar as there was a final determination made on the I-130 petition.
And you're saying that final determination is now made?
Yes, Your Honor, it has been made.
So what's next with regard to that, as far as you know?
Well, Your Honor, I suppose that depends on twofold. It obviously clears his way to return to the United States, and should this case not be remanded, then under those circumstances, he would consular process through the U.S. Embassy in Pakistan.
Well, the BIA here gave three reasons for upholding the IJ's refusal to await the determination.
Yes, Judge.
One was that DHS had already issued an intent to deny the I-130 petition for a possible violation of 8 U.S.C. 1153.
Yes, that's correct. And we would submit to you that a possibility is very different than a probability. And in this instance, the board, the department, all of the concerns of the IJ, they were all overcome.
They denied his position because of a determination that the marriage was fraudulent, which would be a finding that bars him from adjusting his status. And also, of course, they said it wasn't filed before the statutory deadline. But that seems to have been taken care of. Is that right?
One thing to keep in mind here is there are two I-130 petitions. The I-130 petition that was being examined, and the I-130 petition that was a possible issue that gave rise to 204C, was the first I-130 petition based on the petitioner's first marriage. I don't believe there has been any controversy as to the fact that this petitioner and this spouse were in fact in a bona fide marriage relationship. And so the question became is that was there a probability of a 204C based upon the petitioner's first application? Well, once that's resolved, because arguably the petitioner's second I-130 petition, the one based upon or the one upon which he would base his adjustment of status, the minute that became approved, it did away with not only the 204C potential, but also it then grandfathered the petitioner under the Life Act, under 245I, to be able to proceed. So when the board makes the determination that the visa petition was filed on his behalf on January 31st of 2003, that is an incomplete analysis of the fact, because in essence, he was grandfathered based on the first I-130 petition, which was in fact filed prior to April 30th of 2001.
Now, you should know end of your rebuttal time. You have a clock there, I guess.
Thank you, Judge, and I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thanks. ask you to pronounce your name.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Antu Mai. I represent the United States Attorney General.
Thank you.
The Court's decision in Ali v. Gonzalez controls in this matter. The exception in Subhan does not apply to this case. The agency provided three reasons consistent with the statute in denying the or making the discretionary denial of the continuance.
Out of curiosity, do we know, now can you hear me, Ms. Sharma Crawford?
Yes, Your Honor, I can.
Do we know what improper procedural act caused DHS sua sponte to reopen his I-130 petition in May of 2006?
Your Honor, my understanding is that, based on the record, the Department of Homeland Security had reopened based on petitioner's request to reopen the proceedings because there were some procedural issues, but I am not privy as to what those procedural issues were. More likely, as petitioner indicated in their motion to reopen, that they didn't get an opportunity to respond to the original notice.
Now, how do you think we factor in the fact that he's been I-130 petition was approved 2 months ago?
Your Honor, you don't. As this Court stated in Ali and as required by the statute, the Court's review is limited to the record before the Board. So as far as the Board was concerned, at the time that it reviewed the denial of the continuance back in 2006, then any continuance at that time would have been futile. So the new developments that have been asserted by petitioner are, as the Court recognized in Ali, beside the point.
Except that this isn't the record that they had. They didn't know that the I-130 would be approved.
Yes, Your Honor, and that is why that the Court can't take it into consideration because it wasn't in the record. If anything, the Court can take it into account to recognize, as the immigration judge stated and as the department stated in proceedings below, that if the petitioner's I-130 visa petition were to be approved later on, then the remedy would be for the petitioner to either obtain adjustment of status through the normal overseas process, the consular processing overseas, or if the I-130 had been approved while the petitioner was still in the United States, they could have filed a motion to reopen with the Board. That is the only proper process for the petitioner to present any new evidence and for the Court to then subsequently consider it.
In other words, because he's already been relocated, deported to Pakistan, he can't do what he could have done if he were here. If that's not a catch-30, whatever they call it.
Your Honor, he can adjust his status, but now he has to go through the normal process overseas. The typical process is to do so overseas. And as this Court recognized in Hadiyat, that the possibility of future eligibility for relief is not a basis for the alien then to stay indefinitely. Rather, there's still the possibility that the alien can be removed prior to that eligibility coming to fruition. That's what happened here. And what the Supreme Court has also recognized is that the immigration process is not a basis for an alien to prolong his stay in the United States until he becomes eligible. Rather, the immigration case or the court is to determine whether or not there is eligibility for removal at that time, and it is within the discretion of the courts to extend any continuance. And here, petitioner was granted more than an 18-month period and could have been afforded even more, but declined to obtain another time. And then later on, when he determined that, oh, I'm not eligible yet for relief, at that point, he decided to request a further continuance.
Now, was this a voluntary departure on his part?
Yes, Your Honor. So he's not precluded.
So he's not barred from reentering, I guess, if they go through this other process.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the dilemma. When the right hand doesn't know what the left's doing, which seems to be the case as we get these. So maybe they didn't know what they were doing either. But they said, no, probably not. Now they said, okay. So here we are. I should say, there he is. And that's the way it's supposed to stay, as far as you're concerned.
Yes, Your Honor. And
this case would then end with his departure, I mean, this case is over. The other case then goes forward, I guess, for him to try to get back in here.
Yes, Your Honor. Here, the court's concern really is only a matter of whether the agency acted within its discretion and provided a reason consistent with the statute. Here, any three of these reasons are consistent with the statute. The new developments don't impact the case. The other basis that they focus upon is the new evidence, as well as the fact that there wasn't any delay. But in Supan, the court didn't emphasize just that there wasn't any adverse conduct by the petitioner, but rather whether there was any reason consistent with the statute. Here we have three, so the court should therefore dismiss the case for lack of jurisdiction.
You know, I don't understand why you said he refused another continuance. The IJ is the one who denied the continuance.
Your Honor, if I may direct the court to referencing the administrative record at pages 70 to 72, where there is a discussion between the immigration judge and petitioner's counsel, wherein the judge asked and gave him an opportunity of choosing between two different hearing dates for the continuance. One was either going to be the date in September 2005, which petitioner chose, or another date in September 2006. And petitioner's counsel indicated that they would rather have it sooner rather than later, because they could then expedite the processing for some of the paperwork to be submitted. So there was a choice between either September 5th or September 6th, or I'm sorry, September 2005 or September 2006. And petitioner chose a date that was earlier. It wasn't until the hearing did come to pass in September 2005 that petitioner requested a further continuance.
And then the IJ said, I'm going to deny a continuance. Do you
yes,
want
Your Honor.
Voluntary departure?
Yes, Your Honor. And that was because
and
there
that
had
was
been
on what date?
Your Honor, when the immigration judge made that decision.
Yeah, said no more continuances.
Your Honor, the final decision was issued on September 12, 2005, when the IJ had denied the request for a further continuance.
Well, I am really at a loss, because the way I read it, in June 2006, while his appeal is pending, he's notified that, again, they're going to deny the I-130 petition. And the BIA dismisses his appeal, and he's ineligible because of the statutory deadline. So when is he sent back to Pakistan? What's the date?
Your Honor, I'm not certain when he voluntarily departed.
Yeah.
Petitioner's counsel would probably have that information for Your Honor. Unless Your Honor has any further questions,
I have about 1,000, but I don't know.
Your Honor,
this is
the court's review is limited simply to whether there was an abuse of discretion, and applying this court's precedent, then the court would have to determine that the reasons provided by the agency are valid, and as long as they are consistent with the statute, the court lacks jurisdiction and the court should dismiss. And to assure Your Honor, petitioner does have another opportunity to adjust his status and return to the United States, because he did comply with his agreement to voluntarily depart, and because the I-130, even though at the time it seemed futile, has now been granted.
Do you know what the time, the wait is in Pakistan, to leave Pakistan? Do you know how many years it would take for this couple to be reunited?
No, Your Honor.
But it's a lengthy time.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. Not when he has the I-130. And if he has already, upon receipt of the approved visa petition, if counsel has been contacting on through the consular process, then it doesn't necessarily. It varies with each country and depending upon the amount, but particularly with the approved I-130s, and that is a different situation. So But that is neither here nor there because the issue is not before the court in terms of
And I take no, but it's of great interest to people who are human beings. And
yes, Your Honor.
Have hearts and some compassion.
Yes, Your Honor.
Wouldn't you say?
I understand.
Never mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Sharma Crawford, you have, got about a minute?
Okay, Judge, I will talk fast. I would like to begin by addressing the concern that the government brought up, and they said that, well, had the continuance been granted, it would have been, or it would have been futile. Well, clearly it would not have been futile because on October 10th, the I-130 did, in fact, get approved. So, therefore, it wasn't absolutely hopeless that this couple was going to be able to overcome the concern. And, in fact, that was a claim that petitioner repeatedly made to the IJ and repeatedly brought to the IJ's attention to say there are issues with the denial. That is why the government has chosen to reopen it, and that is why the agency reopened the prior denial. Notwithstanding that, Your Honor, the immigration judge provides absolutely no reasoning whatsoever other than to simply say that it is a pending matter and therefore he was not going to give a continuance for that application to be processed. There was no discretionary cutting off of the matter at all. The immigration judge did not indicate that in his discretion he would deny it. He simply said there was that the Department of Homeland Security had raised a possible DOC violation, but did not address it any further. Moreover, the Board of Immigration Appeals did not address anything further.
Okay. Your time is up. Finish your sentence and we'll wrap it.
Thanks, Judge. We would simply request that the petitioner be, in fact, granted his petition for review and be allowed to reunite with his family.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel.
Thank you.
In case we'll be taken under advisement.
Bye-bye.
Bye.